from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 95 to 5 kHz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.
Hey listener, welcome back to our English program over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we will bring you first our news, followed by news from across Indonesia. Today in history, My Indonesia, news in brief. We continue Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, and to conclude our program for today, we present you Music Corner. That was our program summary for today over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here's the news read by Andika. First, the headlines. Indonesian tea is favored by the world's consumers. The government expects tea export to increase. Garuda Indonesia asks to promote Aceh tourism sector. Now the news in detail. Trade Ministry is expecting Indonesian business people to increase their sea exports because this commodity is widely favored by the world's consumers due to its distinctive quality and aroma. Director of Export Product Development at the Ministry of Trade, Ari Satria, in his written statement said on Friday that the target of the Trade Ministry is that there is an increase on the graph of Indonesian tea export, even though it moves slowly but surely. Ari added that in the export market, Indonesia is considered to have good quality tea and a distinctive aroma favored by the global community. He asserted that to better utilize the export market potential of Indonesian tea, entrepreneurs should be able to prepare effective management for the creation of added value and production innovation. Based on the data of the Ministry of Trade, tea export in 2017 increased with the value worth $117.69 million, or an increase of 1.4% compared to 2016, which is amounted $116.75 million. Deputy Mayor of Banda Aceh, Haji Jainal Arifin, delivered 3 requests to Garuda Indonesia for the progress of tourism of Banda Aceh. The requests were submitted by Deputy Mayor Zainal Arifin directly to Vice President of Sumatra Region PT Garuda Indonesia, Dian Ediono, who attended Garuda Travel 2018 event in Banda Aceh on last Friday. Representing Banda Aceh and Aceh in general, Mayor Zainal Arifin asked Garuda to help promote the tour of Banda Aceh, both local and foreign tourists. He said that Aceh has interesting tourist destinations that are not inferior to other tourist areas in the world. The culinary is also very delicious. One of them has the best coffee in the world. He added that as a city that relies on services and tourism, promotion is very important in order to increase tourist visits to Banda Aceh. Therefore, Garuda, as one of the largest airlines in Indonesia, is asked to contribute to the tourism of Banda Aceh by helping promotion. Presidential Chief of Staff Muldoko is reviewing the preparation of the light rail transit or LRT for Palembang at PT Industri Kereta Api Madiun East Java. Two series of trains with 6 hoppers are completed and are currently in trial stage before being sent to Palembang next month. Muldoko, accompanied by INKA President Director Budi Noviantoro, in his written statement on Friday said the train is ready for next August Asian Games. Muldoko appreciated the persistence of PT Industri Kereta Api, which can complete the work of LRT on time. INKA will send the trains of LRT to Palembang in stages by ship on 10 April until May 2018. General election organizers from various countries are scheduled to monitor the election process of regional head in East Java as a form of election program visit 2018. Chairman of the Indonesian Election Commission, Arief Budiman, said in Jakarta on Friday that the overseas monitors will come and witness the election process of regional head in Surabaya, East Java, on the 14th June 27, 2018. He also said that through monitoring conducted by overseas election organizers, the election of regional head can take place at voting booths smoothly. Arief Budiman hopes that Surabaya and East Java are able to prove that simultaneous election of regional head in Indonesia is highly qualified and it becomes a pilot for the international world. The government will establish National Industrial Committee, or KINAS. The objective is to facilitate national, cross-ministerial or agency, and cross-stakeholders' interests in the acceleration of national industry development agenda. Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs, Darmin Nasution, in a press conference said on Friday that through the committee, the government wants to build sustainable communication in relation to the Industrial Revolution 0.4 to implement a number of strategies in entering the industrial era of 4.0. He also stated that Indonesia is trying to become the top 10 world economic power by 2030. Minister Darmin further stated that this momentum is the right time to revitalize Indonesia's manufacturing sector. Chairman of Indonesian National School, Adiaksa Daud, invited Vice President Yusuf Kalla in Jakarta on last Thursday to attend the National School Camp. The event will be held on Sebatik Island, Nunukan District, North Kalimantan Province, starting on 2nd until 7th of May 2018. After meeting with Vice President Yusuf Kalla, Adiaksa Daud said to media that Vice President Yusuf Kalla welcomes positively the National Scout Camp. Adiaksa Daud perceived that this activity supports the government's program of mental revolution. To have mentally good citizen is not like building one day, one night, but building from an early age. It is through the Boy Scout movement. So if Mr. President says a mental revolution, we do it sincerely. Creating young generation is that they will really understand about Indonesia. The national camp activity of Indonesian National Scout with the team State Defending will be followed by hundreds of students of Scout members from 34 provinces in Indonesia. This activity will be coordinated with the government of North Kalimantan and Nunukan Regency to ensure the smoothness of the event to be held on Sebatik Island, which is the outer island bordering with Malaysia. The last item. The rapid development of financial technology, or fintech, forces the community, especially conventional and government financial institutions, to adapt within a bid to survive in the future. Communities engaged in the conventional finance industry must be retrained to be able to cope with changes. The government as regulator is also required to maintain stability amid the society. In addition, existing regulations are not expected to hamper financial sector innovations, including fintech. This was stated by senior economist of University of Indonesia, Khatib Basri, on the sidelines of Fintech Festival or FinFest 2018 in Jakarta on last Thursday.
Nah, ini kalau kemudian produk-produk konvensional nggak siap dengan ini, maka itu akan bisa jadi threat satu. Kemudian future works.
Well, if conventional products are not ready with the development, this will be a threat. Then the future works will be affected. The key is how people can be retrained to deal with these changes. Second, the regulator is also in a difficult condition because the disruption is so fast and the changes are so fast too. If the regulator does not keep the community, this will be a problem. But if it holds back, innovation would be a hassle.
Tapi kalau dia kemudian menahan, inovasi akan jadi repot.
In addition, Khatib Basri, who is also former Minister of Finance, further said that currently regulators are expected to see something worrying, such as consumer protection and lending quality on vintage peer-to-peer lending business. He welcomed positively with the presence of new fintech players in the industry. This will open up enormous opportunity again, as companies can create more synergy with fintech. Well, that was the news over at Radio Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
across the country. Unique and interesting information from across Indonesia.
Hello listener, welcome to our weekly news from across the country, the segment which present interesting informations from various regions in a week. The first story comes from Ngawi, East Java. A farmer in regional village Karangjati sub-district, Ngawi Regency, East Java, discovered a bone-shaped stone suspected of being an ancient animal fossil like elephant and bull. Regional village chief Senung Budiarto said on Wednesday that the fossils were found by Sarno in a forest area owned by Perhutani in an area of forestry union of Saradan. The bones are temporarily secured in the local Perhutani office for further research. Meanwhile, Sarno said that he accidentally found the bone while he dug the ground to plant sang on trees owned by PT Perhutani. The bones are found buried in the ground in the 1.5 meters depth. Some of the fossils he found, among others, were ivory, joint bones, and legs. The length fossil reaches 1 meter. Near the location of the discovery, there were also found elephant fossils and other animals. The villagers, together with the military district command Koramil and the local police, installed border lines at the discovery site pending the identification of the related institutions. Next story comes from Palembang, South Sumatra. The ranks of the provincial government of South Sumatra, the districts and municipalities agreed to anticipate hoax, especially prior to elections. Chief Executive Officer of the Communication and Information Technology Department of South Sumatra, Inanda Karina, at the technical meeting of Communication, Statistics and Information Technology in Palembang on Wednesday said, before and during simultaneous regional heads election, all parties must be able to reject the hoax. Related to the matter, all sides must commit to implement real action by organizing anti-hoax movement. The last story comes from Surabaya, East Java. Erlangga University Surabaya on Wednesday inaugurated the Halal Center, a building which functioned as Halal Research and Development Center, equipped with a high-tech laboratory or biosafety level 3 on Wednesday, March 28. Chairman of Unite Halal Center, Dr. Mustafa Helmi Effendi, said the inauguration of the Halal Center is based on the recognition of halal products for cosmetics, medicine, and food. Mustafa Helmi said that the laboratory serves to assess production materials and detect whether there are any forbidden substance for consumption or not. He explained that the Halal Center will also handle three main research areas, namely food, medicine, and humanities. Listener, that was the news from across the country.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Listener, here is Today in History. We begin with March 31st, 1928. Equator Monument was built in Pontianak. The Equator Monument is located at Jalan Khatulistiwa, North Pontianak, West Kalimantan. More precisely, it is located 3 kilometers from the heart of Pontianak City in Tumempawat City. This monument is a tourism icon of Pontianak and always crowded by visitors, especially tourists from outside Pontianak. Based on record collected on March 31, 1928, there was an international expedition in Pontianak led by a Dutch geographer to decide the equator line milestone in Pontianak City. The next event is on March 31, 1981, the end of Garuda DC-9 Viola hijacking. Garuda Indonesia Flight 206 hijacking, or known as Viola incident, was hijacking conducted by five terrorists led by Imran bin Muhammad Saint. The plane was actually flying from Talan Betutu Airport, Palembang to Polinia Airport on March 28, 1981. When hijacked, the plane refueled in Penang, Malaysia before continuing to into Don Muan Airport, Bangkok, Thailand. Imran bin Muhammad Saint, the leader of the Komando Jihad, demanded his associates who were arrested during the Sisendo incident in Bandung, West Java to be released. The information of the hijacking was quickly received and responded by Indonesian government through deploying 30 members of Sandi Yuda Para Command Group 1 led by General Leonardus Benyamin Mordadi and Operation Assistant Sington Hamanongan Panjaitan and some members of Thailand Special Air Force. The members of the Group 1 Para Command spent less than 10 minutes to take down the terrorists. The four-day hijacking ended on March 31, 1981 without any casualty among the plane crews and passengers. Imran, the surviving terrorist leader, was brought back to Indonesia and then sentenced. Well, listener, when today in history with an event on March 31, 1991, Warsawa Pact ended. Warsawa Pact was an East Bloc military alliance in Eastern Europe aiming to anticipate attacks from NATO, which was formed in 1949. The establishment of Warsawa Pact was triggered by the integration of West Germany into NATO through Paris Protocol ratification. The pact was designed by Nikita Khrushchev in 1955 and signed by its members in Warsaw on May 14, 1955. This pact ended on March 31, 1991, yet the official end was in a meeting in Prague on July 1, 1991. Listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with daily segment My Indonesia, which today is on President launches online licensing for customs facilities. President Joko Widodo attended the launching of online licensing for customs facilities in Samik Bondit area, Cileungsi, West Java on Tuesday, March the 27th. In his speech, the president said it is time for all licensing processes, including the customs process, to be done briefly, quickly, and online. This is intended to facilitate and accelerate the business growth in obtaining customs facilities. The event coincided with a gathering of 1,425 entrepreneurs using customs facilities, Directorate General of Customs and Excise Ministry of Finance. On the occasion, Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati said President Joko Widodo had asked his staff to simplify all licenses and processes related to the business world. The Directorate General of Customs and Excise then simplifies in several scopes, among others related to customs registration, bonded landfill permit, import permit is for export, and licenses for the number of excise goods entrepreneurs. Permission arrangement that previously took 15 days to be done in 1 to 3 hours only. The number of permit documents is also reduced from 45 to just 3 documents only and can be done online. permission to obtain ease of import for export facilities, which took 30 working days, is trimmed to 1 hour. Licensing process of the principal number of taxable goods from initially 30 becomes 3 working days. Minister of Finance explains the whole process is in order to support Indonesia as an investment destination desired by investors. President Joko Widodo said he appreciated the steps that had been submitted by the Minister of Finance. According to the President, it is necessary because Indonesia must compete with other countries. Present at the event, Coordinating Minister for Economy Darmin Nasution, Minister of Finance Sri Mulyani Indrawati, Minister of Transportation Budi Karya Sumadi, and some others. That was My Indonesia Today.
Here's news in brief. Trade Ministry is expecting Indonesian business people to increase their tea export because this commodity is widely favored by the world consumer due to its distinctive quality and aroma. Deputy Mayor of Banda Aceh, Haji Zainal Arifin, delivered 3 requests to Garuda Indonesia for the progress of tourism of Banda Aceh. The requests were submitted by Deputy Mayor Zainal Arifin directly to Vice President of Sumatra Region, PT Garuda Indonesia, Dian Ediano, who attended Garuda Travel Fair 2018 event in Banda Aceh on last Friday. Presidential Chief of Staff Muldoko is reviewing the preparation of the Light Rail Transit or LRT for Palembang at PT Induksi Kereta Api Madiun, East Java. General election organizer from various countries are scheduled to monitor the election process of regional head in East Java as a form of election program visit 2018. The government will establish National Industrial Committee, or KINAS. The objective is to facilitate national, cross-ministerial or agency and cross-stakeholder interest in the acceleration of the national industry development agenda. Chairman of Indonesian Nationalist Code, Adi Aksa Daud, invited Vice President Yusuf Kalla in Jakarta on last Thursday to attend the Nationalist Code Camp. The event will be held on Sebatik Island, Nunukan District, North Kalimantan Province, starting on 2 until 7 May 2018. The rapid development of financial technology fintech forces the community, especially conventional and government financial institutions, to adapt with an appeal to survive in the future. Listener, that was news in brief.
Broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequency of 9525 kHz, you can also listen to audio streaming www.voi.co.id. Listener, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to one of tourism objects in Pacitan, East Java. Stay tuned! Listener, going on holiday has some ways, not only visiting beaches or enjoying typical foods, but also traveling to enhance knowledge, such as historical tour to museum ancient sites. Gong Situs Terus in Pacitan becomes one of regencies in East Java, which also has tourism object related to history or ancient site. Listener, Gong Situs Terus is one of historical tourism objects at Warang Village in Punung District, Pacitan Regency, East Java. At this place, you can see ancient site which was as residence of the early humans in the past. The residence of the early humans has a form of cave which has around 150 meters long and 10 to 20 meters wide and the roof 10 meters high. Thank you. Listeners, since 1999, the tourism object has been known because in the cave, human corpse was found, and this is predicted to have been around 10,000 years. Archaeologists and local people said that the corpse is named Mbah Sayem. Sontra's cave gives great contribution in Indonesian history because in this cave, there are a lot of prehistoric objects which were used by the ancient humans in the past, such as tools which were made from bones, shells, and also remains of human and animal bodies. This can prove that the cave was used as residence in the past and full of archaeological remains. Listener, because Sontra's cave is still explored to find other prehistoric heritage, so no wonder if the cave lacks of facilities for tourists. The facilities are only like toilet, parking area, stall which provides foods and beverages. Goa Song is easy to be visited. Tourists can drive their cars or take public transportation. The cave is opened starting from 8 to 17 local time with the entrance ticket worth 3,000 rupiah. Listener, if you have photographic hobby, you can go down Sontra's cave and take pictures of various kinds of sceneries to note the residence of the ancient humans, including the painting on the cave's wall. That was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today. Thank you for listening. Thank you for still being with us in Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestion or criticism, please drop us a line to Voice of Indonesia or to our email address english@voi.co.id or to voi.english@gmail.com. Listener, now let's listen to Miscellany.
Miscellany. Miscellany on Indonesia. A segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Miscellany, featuring various aspects of Indonesia, including art and culture, tradition, technology, environment, even lifestyle. Today's edition will be about batik cloth from Lasem, Central Java. Stay tuned. Lasem district in Rembang Regency, Central Java cannot be separated from the Indonesian archipelago batik repertoire. In the midst of incessant production of batik cap or stamped batiks, the batik from Lasem remain faithful to maintain the production of traditional handwritten or painted batik. For that, batik artisans are required to continue to innovate in order to survive to keep the legacy of classic batik. Because batik cap or stamped batik is now more absorbed by the market as the decline in purchasing power of the middle to lower class. Piece of batik from Lasem illustrates the blending of Chinese culture and local traditions of Java's coast. One of the specialties of batik from this small town in Central Java is a red color similar to the color of chicken blood that cannot be found elsewhere. Lasem batik is not as popular as batik from other parts of Indonesia like Solo, Yogyakarta, or Pekalongan, even Cirebon. Lasem's batik is boosted since the determination of Indonesian batik as World Heritage by UNESCO on October 2, 2009. Lasem, a small town district east of Rembang Regency, Central Java, has traces of history as small batik producing city in the 1930s. It has the characteristics of three colors on batik cloth, namely red, green, and blue. The red color of Lasem batik at that time was considered very special because there was no other area that could make red color as good as Lasem batik artisans. Historically, the existence of Lasem batik is related to the arrival of Admiral Cheng Ho from China in 1413. One of Cheng Ho's men, named Binang Un, finally settled in Lasem with his wife Nalini. To fill the time, Nalini began to create creative batik cloth. This activity is maintained by Lasem community until now. Lasem handmade batik has not become mass production or cheap. Also, in line with the tradition, only women are allowed to make batik. Yes, the work of Lasem batik is identical with women. Both young and old women could be found blowing canting to paint the fabric which is already patterned. The traces of China's ethnic mixing and Japanese culture are reflected in sheets of Lasem batik motifs. Decorative varieties such as hongbirds, butterflies, and banji signifies a strong Chinese cultural heritage or influence. These motifs seem to blend harmoniously with typical Japanese batik patterns such as lereng, parang, kawung, and udan liris. For Lasem batik crafters, batik is written and or painted, and holding on to it means persisting on the tradition. Well, that was Miscellany over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hey listener of Radio Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back with me, Andika, in Music Corner, musical segment which introduce you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will introduce you to Tina Tun. To initiate our segment, Music Corner for today, let's listen to a song entitled Cinta Pertamaku. Enjoy the song.
Ku selalu ingat padamu senyum padaku. Apakah mungkin ku telah jatuh cinta sejak pandanganmu pertama? Ku bertanya pada siapa? Mungkinkah kau masih sendiri? Ku tunggu selalu jawaban darimu. Akankah cintamu untukku? Cintailah aku dengan tulus. Cinta pertamaku.
Listener, you have just listened to the first song entitled Cinta Pertamaku, sung by Tina Toon. The name of Tina Toon in Indonesia was previously known as a little singer in late 1990s and early 20s. The female singer with complete name Agustina Hermanto was well known through her kid song entitled Bulu Bulu and also with her typical neck movement. Tina Toon has begun her career in music world since she was 5 years old. Precisely, in 1998, Tina Toon recorded her song which were composed by Papa Tebo, kid songwriter. In 1999, Tina Toon released her first album entitled Bolo Bolo, which skyrocketed in market. Listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Kau dan Aku Satu. Enjoy the song.
Kebersamaan denganmu terbaik untukku. Senyumanmu bagiku dunia tuk hidupku. Seiring berjalan waktu terkadang kau jauh, tetapi ku tak bisa hidup tanpa dirimu. Berkali aku coba untuk pergi, pergi dari dirimu, tapi ku tak mampu. Bahagia terluka adalah perjalanan cinta. Ku jalani bersamamu karena kau belahan jiwaku. Kau dan aku satu. Kebersamaan denganmu terbaik untukku. Senyumanmu bagiku dunia tuk hidupku. Seiring berjalan waktu terkadang kau jauh, tetapi ku tak bisa hidup tanpa dirimu. Berkali aku coba untuk pergi, pergi dari dirimu, tapi ku tak mampu. Bahagia dan terluka adalah perjalanan cinta.
Listener, you are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in the segment Music Corner, which is discussing about Tina Toon. Tina Toon, who was born on August 20, 1993, doesn't want to be considered a little singer. Labeled as Bolo Bolo Singer, she also tried to release an album entitled I Love Music in 2008. Through this album, which was released in the age of 15, Tina Toon wants to show that she has been teenager now. Furthermore, Tina Toon had created a girl band with the name Tina with the Girls in 2011. But the girls did not last long. In 2016, Tina Toon chose for solo career and released same single albums such as Kau dan Aku Satu, Meraih Mimpi, and Takkan Terganti. Listener, to conclude our segment Music Corner for today, let's listen to the following two songs entitled Meraih Mimpi and Takkan Terganti. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Manusia tercipta sempurna. Perjuangkan harga dirimu dan raihlah cintamu. Dengan tekad kita bisa. Kita kuat, kita hebat. Aku kamu, kita istimewa. Kita kuat. Kita semua hebat, bangkit kembali meraih mimpi. Kesalahan, kegagalan hidupmu jadikan pelajaran yang berharga. Jangan salahkan keadaan dan teruslah berjuang menjadi pemenang. Kita kuat, hey! Kita hebat, hebat. Aku kamu, kita istimewa. Kita kuat, hey! Kita semua hebat. Bangkit kembali meraih.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Banyak yang tak akan mengerti yang sebenarnya di hati. Tapi ketika kau ada di sini, seolah tak peduli, tetapi kau pahami. Sedih saat kau menangis, tertawa bersama bahagia. Ku rasa apa yang kamu rasa. Dunia sangat indah. Teruslah berganti.
berjuta orang di dunia yang kutemui, tapi tidak ada yang seperti kamu, mengerti dan menerimaku apa adanya. Meskipun nantinya kamu pergi jauh, kamu harus tahu aku akan
seolah tak peduli, tetapi ku pahami. Sedih saat kau menangis, tertawa bersama bahagia. Ku rasa apa yang kamu rasa. Dunia sangat indah, ku ada karena kau ada. Kau berarti dan tak akan terganti. Berada bersama sama bahagia. Ku rasa apa yang kamu rasa.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.